Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Dear brothers and sisters, thank you again for joining us this morning for All Things Human. The new format is simply airing from our archives lectures from Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. They are effectively random. They won't be chosen because of any specific title or any specific order. They'll mainly be chosen because of the quality of the sound, the ability to give clear message from the Imam. But my prime motivation is for it to serve as a morning meditation for you when you listen. And you take your own notes and you reflect and you think on it. I recommend you get a composition book or a journal, and just these are just your weekly notes in your study of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, without consideration for my comments or comments of anyone afterwards. It's just a meditation and a study for you personally into the language, logic, and legacy of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. So thank you, and I hope this format works for you. God's peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
All self is getting more at. It's getting more at what you essentially are. Is that right? The word own self tells me, that expression tells me, that the question is trying to get at what I am essentially. What I am importantly. What is my own self? Answer. My own self is a righteous Muslim. And we have learned in this religion now, in the Quran, that God made everything in its original nature Muslim. The sun is Muslim. How come it's Muslim? Because Allah set its pattern for it. Allah created it, and Allah set its pattern for it. And it still comes up from the east and sets in the west. It still varies during the four seasons. In the summer, it goes north. In the winter, it goes south. It still has its two east and its two west. It hasn't broken the pattern that Allah gave it. How wonderful it is. And the moon, the same. It obeys what Allah created it to obey. It still does it. Muslim. All the stars are Muslim. Those clouds, they've been doing that all the time. This ain't no new thing, man. That's the way they come up. That's the way they form. They've been looking like that. They never change. They don't never do the boogie up there. They just glide along. Right? They just glide along. I've never seen them turning up and down. I've never seen clouds doing this in the sky. They just glide along. They go fast and slow, but they just glide along. Sometimes they get heavy, they start coming down a little bit. Get heavy, sometimes they kind of slag, they kind of sag on down, you know. But they never do the things we do. They always do that same old thing. Trees too. Muslim. See that Muslim tree? You say, hey, I ain't supposed to have my roots up there and my leaves in the ground. Say, that's the way God made me. I'm going to keep doing it just like that, man. I'm going to bring leaves up and I'm going to put roots down. They're Muslim. Everything in the natural world, Muslim. Your human body that Allah formed in the womb of your mother, Muslim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be on him. Prophet Muhammad said, Allah made every child Muslim. Every child that's born of his mother is Muslim. And he's made a Christian, a Jew, or something else because of the circumstances that he's put in. So Elijah Muhammad said in a question that he got from the mystic, and what is my own self? Answer, my own self is a righteous Muslim. That should tell us that the most important identity for us under the Lord Elijah Muhammad's leadership in the first experience, the most important identity for us was Muslim. Not black, not anything except Muslim. So what do we have here? We have here a situation very much like the situation that has been given to many people by experimenters, by those who experiment on the possibility of human behavior, or for human behavior. Just like we experiment to see, or if you know how to farm, or if you know how to grow trees, you're an agriculturalist, or tree through fruit, or orchard man, you know how to work the orchard, you know how to care for the orchard, then if you're a smart one, you study. And you study the possibilities for the behavior of these trees. So how can I take this behavior in this tree and bring it to this behavior in this tree and blend the behavior so that I get a better product or bigger fruit? Sometimes we ain't after a better product, we after more money. How can I make this product bigger so I get more for each piece? And you come up with an idea, experimenting on the nature, the behavioral nature of that plant or that tree, right? Okay, well, there are people who do the same thing with human beings. They study the behavioral nature of human beings. Political scientists, social scientists, psychologists. They study the behavioral nature of human beings. And then they look at a big problem for society in some area. That becomes their lab. That area becomes their lab for their experiment. So they come into that trouble area with their technology, their science. And they set up lab there. And then they study and experiment with the behavior nature of those people who represent a great problem for society. And if it's a moral experiment, if it's not just a material experiment, but if they're experimenting morally too, no learned man, no intelligent man wants to be charged with being really insensitive morally. The worst scientist, the one who has gone to the farthest extremes in exploiting, playing with the human behavior, human nature, they don't want to admit that they were immoral. They want to justify the terrible consequences that came by their experiment without sacrificing their image as being a moral one. Yes, this is the nature of the learned people. They don't like to be called morally corrupt. They'll try to say, well, look how many lives we saved in doing this. They say, look how many people we have helped. Say, we know a lot of the innocent died because of our experiment, but look how many more we're going to save. And look how much better off the condition of these are who survived the experiment than they were before we brought in the experiment. So they justify the end. They justify the means, pardon me, with the end. They justify the means of what they did with the outcome. Isn't that true? All right. So there's so many people like this. And there's an example somewhere, but I decided not to bring it forth today. Because it brings too many questions to mind, and you folks already disrespect Scripture too much. So I'm not bringing it from Scripture. I'm coming from the world, okay? So these people, what are they doing? What are they saying to you? They're saying to you that we are experimenters. All right? Am I tying you up? I don't like to bore you. I don't like to waste your time. But believe me, this will make you wise. This will give you the intelligence that you need to hold up the structure. You need intelligence to hold up the structures of society, to be responsible for leadership over community. You need insight into wisdom, into real knowledge. You need what other people have had and you didn't have. Lord Elijah Muhammad said, you want to be equal with the white man? Get equal knowledge. I just quoted him. Don't forget that. All right. Well, not only equal knowledge, we'll get superior knowledge. If the white man doesn't have this baby, he's got something inferior to what I got. And that's the Quran, in case you don't know. That's the Holy Quran. Our Quran, I don't know what you, maybe you call it Quran. Whatever you call it, that's it. That's it, that's what I'm talking about. Written in Arabic. All right, that's what I'm talking about. That book right there. If he got something other than this, then he got something inferior to what I got. I don't care what he got. And the proof of it is, I'm standing before you on the strength of this. And you haven't seen a man to come up and challenge me yet. You haven't seen nobody to come up and give you what we're giving you yet. Or have the courage to come up and say, well, look, mister, you're fooling these people. Give me a chance to challenge you right here. Nobody will come up. Couldn't pay him to come up. Oh, you know what happened to us. The brothers will beat us up. I got an address. Why don't you come to my house sometime? Ain't no brothers there. I'll go to a church and tell a preacher. Say, look, I'm afraid of them Muslims. Can you arrange a meeting with me and the imam? Can you write him direct? You can get a meeting with me without these brothers. You don't want no meeting with me. If we meet alone, you don't want to meet with me alone. Nobody but me and you. You don't want to meet with me unless you're ready to be a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. One youngster, you know, after I got through speaking in the masjid, he went out his head. Oh, he pats himself on the back. He brags. That's because he's ignorant and spoiled. The society has spoiled him rotten. I ain't patting myself on the back. If I said that I wrote this Quran, I'd be patting myself on the back. Man, I'm going to, if you think I'm bragging, I'm going to keep bragging. I'll brag some more. This is Allah's word, and I say it's the baddest, it's the best, it's the most powerful, it's the superior. And that's what I stand on. And God has blessed me with understanding in this more than I've seen in any other man that I've met. And when I talk about my own work, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on what Allah has done for us. This ain't for me. What would I need with all this if I was just going to live by myself? I don't need this. This is for us. When you hear me brag on this and on what I have, I'm bragging on us. What Allah has done for us. And we are the best. We got the best. Isn't that wonderful? That your sons and your daughters, your old people and my old people can get together and say, we got the best. So just let them bring somebody to challenge our leader. You don't know, man. I follow Imam Rabbi Muhammad. That's who I follow. I follow Imam Rabbi Muhammad. I'm always trying to measure up to Imam Rabbi Muhammad. I hear you all say, Imam Rabbi Muhammad, he wouldn't do that. I say, I got to be as good as Imam Rabbi Muhammad. I hear you all saying, Imam Muhammad, he's not an unjust man. If you bring your problem to him, he'd give justice. I'm always trying to live up to that. Can't you see how I follow Imam Rabbi Muhammad? Now let us all follow Imam Rabbi Muhammad, because he is the best leader we got. Allahu Akbar. Praise be to Allah. You see how the heavens, kind of got emotional when I came here? You see, when I came here, the heavens got kind of emotional. But someone in the heavens said, don't cause them any difficulty. We know you're sad, but don't drop tears on them too heavily. You might spoil their garments. Or you might make them have to go early. And the heavens would like to see them stay there as long as possible because they've been without this for 25,000 years. Now, you see, I'm not the man to mystify you and leave you in dark. Okay, you got five senses, don't you? A full run of your five senses, the product in multiplication, the answer in multiplication is called a product. So five times five equals 25. What can five senses produce? 25 in product. What is 1,000? Oh, that's just one with the Lord. Multiply it times 1,000, 25,000. Full run of the five senses under the Lord. We've been waiting on it for a long, long time. We've been waiting a long, long time. And we're going to get the full product of our five senses now because Allah has surely blessed us. Allahu Akbar. Let us go on now. Allah Most High says, he says, Hu alladhi anzala alayka al-kitab. Now, this same God, the one who formed you in the womb of your mother, as he pleased. Same one says, Hu alladhi, he is the one who revealed or sent down the book. Praise be to Allah. How wonderful it is Now, the one who created this, did all of this, made it possible for me to come out as a product of the natural processes and come into all the grand opportunities of life. The one who did this, that's the one who communicated with the man. It wasn't no spooky thing. It wasn't no spooky thing out there. It wasn't a dream God. It wasn't a God from a nightmare. A God from a trip. It wasn't that God. It was the same one who made the heavens and the earth and made it possible for the tree to come up like that. Same one that put the essence into the earth that makes the tree. Same one that designed the behavioral nature of matter so that the tree comes up like that. Same one. He communicates with man. He speaks to the mortal flesh and blood human being. And not the human being in a foreign body. He says, say, Muhammad, to them, I am a flesh and blood mortal just like you. So we don't have to become an otherworld creature to receive communication from this Lord that made all of this. The Lord that made all of this, he communicates with his creature in the nature and in the form that he made for him. He doesn't have to come out of that. Like Oriental mythology and some other myths tells us that if you want to communicate with God, you got to leave this body, come out of it, reject it, throw down the gross matter, get up out of the gross body, come out of the world and leave the women, leave the sex, leave making babies, leave eating beef and lamb, and take a spoon of honey, a sip of water, and get so hungry you levitate. Nobody see you there but you levitate. You know, then you'll get a and he'll speak to you. It wasn't like that. Prophet Muhammad was thinking about the realities of the world. He was worried about the condition of Arabs. Ignorance. Killing their baby girls because they took pride in having a whole lot of men. He worried about their situation. He walked away from the populated center of the Arab and went off and sought seclusion in the mount called the Mountain of the Light now, Jabal Nur. He sought conclusion there, seclusion there. And in solitude, he thought on God and said, how come the world is in such a mess? He wasn't leaving the world. He was going away from the physical place to get clear mind and hope that God would bless him with understanding. He wasn't trying to become a different creature. He was satisfied to be what he was, a human being. He wasn't looking down upon his physical body. He was accepting the physical reality. And Prophet Muhammad received the communication from God called revelation. And God didn't say to him in the first word, he didn't say to him, go fly as a bird. I'm going to make you disappear before them when they get us, and they will believe that I sent you. He didn't tell him nothing like that. He said, read, Muhammad. Muhammad said, I can't read. I'm not one of letters. I haven't been taught letters. Allah repeated, read. And he repeated again. He said, I'm not educated. I'm not one of letters. And Allah repeated for the third time. Read, Muhammad. And the verse is saying, Iqra. Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Now here the mystics are taught to escape creation to get in touch with God. And the very first words that came to Muhammad from God said, read in the name of your Lord who created. And that made Prophet Muhammad read, because God connected his mind with creation and made it possible for him to receive instruction from on high, revelation from the Lord of all the world. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I wish your mind was as free as it should be. I know this is a heavy world you live in now. Thick. Busy. So many things to do. so much excitement. As soon as you get up, you know, you wonder if you can get around to all the exciting things before the nightfall, or before the next sunrise. So it's hard for us to clear our minds in this kind of world we live in. But I wish you could kind of clear your mind, you know, just free your mind, so you can see how wonderful this religion is. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Khalaqal insana min alaq. Created the human being from a clot of congealed blood. How wonderful. How wonderful. You know what alaq really means? Literally, what it speaks to most of all? Is something that sticks. Something that sticks. It has attaching power. It attaches and holds. Now, we know blood is thicker than water, isn't it? But water, too, has attaching power. You wash your hands, and you can hold your hand right just like that, and water will try to stay attached to your hand. There'll be a drop clinging to your hand, right? If it comes too heavy, it'll fall. But it can hold a small drop. A small drop can hold on. Small little drop just holding on there. Right? So it says he made a human being from what? Alaq. From something that sticks. They call leeches alaq because they stick on you. They're pretty hard to come off. You tear them off, you know. They're hard to come off. So they call them alaq. So he made the human being from an alaq. Referring to the blood. The blood. How it cleans and holds better than water. And the blood will hold and then gel. Right? Oh, yeah. It holds and then gel. And if it's outside of the body, it dries up. And becomes, eventually, it becomes a powder. Dust. And the wind can blow the blood substance or the blood product in a way. Just blow it away like dust, right? Well, when it has its moisture, it holds into a drop. It clings together. And the right condition will make it clot. And if it clots on the inside in the birth process, what happens? Out of it comes what? Eventually flesh, bones, and a human being, right? And a human being eventually. So what is it saying? What is it saying to us? That God made human beings with the nature to want to be with each other. He made human beings to stick together. You know, we say, hey, man, those two dudes are tight, man. They stick together all the time. Right? That's Allah. That's Allah. Human beings got a social nature. He likes to socialize with other human beings. In this social nature, it's what we call the nature to congregate, right? You and he have congregated. Why are you congregating? Because you like to be with other people. Not just because you like the word of God, but you also enjoy being with other people. So it says, read in the name of your Lord who created. Created the human being from an Allah. From the nature to get together with each other and want to stick together. Our leaders behind us, what have they been asking us to do? Unite. Haven't they been asking us to unite? And when we obeyed them, we got progress. Oh, yes. Those that obeyed the leaders who said, let's unite, they enjoyed some strength, they enjoyed some power, they enjoyed some dignity, and they realized some progress. And the more we divide ourselves, and the less we become concerned to come together, the worse our condition gets in society. This is a fact of history. The freedom movement that brought the civil rights movement up to the 1960s and up to into what we call now equal opportunity. That movement was a movement of blacks sticking together, wasn't it? That movement was a movement of blacks united to pull themselves out of the bad situation that slavery and Jim Crowism had given them to. The movement of separation. Marcus Garvey. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and others. The movement of separation, or black nationalism, as it is sometimes called. Wasn't that a movement of people sticking together? Wasn't that a movement of people wanting to be together and wanting to do things together and wanting to be in unity? Now tell me if we don't owe these achievements that we have right now. the opportunity that we have gotten because of legislation being passed, the opportunity that we have gotten because of the struggle of the Al-Mujahideen Muhammad's followers and other determined people who determined to pull their matter up to a dignified plane. Tell me, if those united movements of people doing things together are not responsible for the opportunity we have right now to sit down here in Georgia, on this land, as Muslims, as African Americans, united here under a leader who has great influence in your life and great influence on the minds of the public. But the government and this state and the near town by town, they are not denying us the right to assemble here. We are here. We are here because of what? We are here because we stuck together, because we were obeying the art nature in our life. And if you expect to do anything with these 600 acres of land here, 4,600 acres of land, if you expect to do anything with these acreage of land, this great acreage of land, you're going to have to accept to unite. You're going to have to accept to stick together. You're going to have to get the hypocrites away from you, out among you. Get the hypocrites out from among you. Give those people so much hell that they can't stay among us. I don't care how bully they are. I don't care how tough they look. I don't care if they look like two gorillas in one fur. You got to make them feel so uncomfortable among you. You got to show them that they can't get anything here. That's what you got to do. You got to be like me. I don't see any of them. Not a single one. I don't see it. If all of you all were like that, I'll say, you bunch of stupid so-and-so's, you. You waste my time to have me come out here and speak to a bunch of bulls. A bunch of cheap, weak monkeys. Say, go to hell. And I say, Aslama, go to hell. And I go on back home. I'm not afraid of anybody on this earth. Allah didn't make me to fear people on this earth. Allah made me to fear him and to fear principle. I don't fear no person. As long as you fear people, you're going to be always down. You're going to be always weak. You're going to be always at the mercy of the man. And he might be black, white, green, I don't care what color. You will be at the mercy of the man because you a boy. Don't fear nobody. If you all stand up with me and be as sincere and honest to this religion and what it asks for us to do as I am, these bullies will be so impressed by our strength that they will become human overnight. The fangs will go away, the eight features would disappear, and they'll say, Assalamu alaikum, brother. Isn't it wonderful to be a Muslim? You create your own monster by accepting to be brutalized, accepting to be disrespected. You create your own monster. I want you to know, I don't fear you and I don't fear your monsters. I don't fear anything but Allah. Most of these monsters, they love me. They can't help but love me because they know I treat them better than they treat themselves.
That's right.
Well, they can't help but love me. But they better straighten up. Well, as soon as I see you tired of them, I'm going to kick them out.
That's right.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But as long as you ain't tired of people brutalizing you and walking around treating you like you ain't nothing, then I'm going to wait until you get your mind together. When you get some respect for yourself and you don't want them, say, man, we tired. We don't want this. Say, we didn't go to NestJet this Sunday or this Friday because they don't treat us right. Wow. Then he'll come to me and say, look, buddy, man, I ain't got no followers. I'll say, why? I said, what happened? I say, okay, come on now. I got that razor moose on here. Yeah. Let me shave you and cut off your tail so you can go back into human society. And believe me, he will accept for me to give him a good shave all over and cut off his tail and let him go back into human society. Yeah, he'll accept it. The worst one out here will accept it. Oh, yes, he will. Believe me, I know. The Lord told me so. I know. We just can't have a community from our minds. Our minds ain't big enough. Not just our mind. Ain't no man had the mind to just go by himself and take from the air his own thoughts, or take from before him his own thoughts, and establish a community or establish society that will stand and continue in the future. Ain't no man had that kind of building. Every society that has been established and have lasted on this earth, it was started by people who had the vision or the insight to see what Allah intends, what the Creator intends for the human society. And then they put that in the language, or they put that in their language. So they were French or European or African or whatever they were. They put that in their language, and then they presented it to their people, and that's how they brought up their people into established society. They got insight into what Allah, the Creator, intends. You say, well, what about the communists? Communists came after the God-fearing people. They didn't do nothing but alter the scientific concepts that were hidden in the symbolic language of Scripture. They just altered those concepts, fabricated them in their own language, and presented it to the people as some kind of Marxism or some kind of socialism. They just fabricated what they saw, what they were able to peep into, or what the renegade Jew was able to show them that was hidden in the language of Scripture. That's all they did. They borrowed from the Bible, and they relied heavily on the Quran. And most of their so-called Marxist concepts are nothing but an outright lie. If there was a just court on this land, I could take this Quran to court and prove Marx philosophy of so-called dialectic materialism a fraud.
Yes, sir.
A fraud.
That's right.
I can prove that he stole it.
That's right.
If there was a just court that could hear us, I could prove in a court that he stole it.
That's right.
And we could put him out of business.
That's
if there
right.
was a just court that could execute the judgment on the Marxist people.
That's right.
They were executed and say, no, you don't have it. Then you set up this organization wrong, without authority. You stole from this document.
That's right.
That's right.
All they do is hide the truth.
That's all.
That the common man needs in order to challenge them and keep his own mass together. They hide that truth. In capitalism, they give you God and hide the material reality. In communism, they give you the material reality and hide the connection with God. Both worlds cheating the common man. Are you with me or not?
Yes, sir.
Jump to your feet if you're with me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. All right, let us sit now. Yes, this is what's going to get it. That's what's going to get it. Let us sit down when you're ready to sit down. That's what's going to get it. Allah say in the Quran, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. They say, we hear and we obey. We don't hear in doubt. We don't hear in question. When it comes from Allah's word, and when it comes from Allah's plan, we recognize Allah's word. We recognize Allah has wrought this in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to bring about his son with the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. So we recognize that. We say, our Lord, we hear and we obey. That's the way it has to be. That's the way it has to be. That's the only way it's going to work. We ain't stopping at no small part of the plan, man. We're going all the way to the full. We ain't stopping at the corner store. We're going all the way to the central store. We ain't gonna stop until we come to the store that supply all of our needs. And don't you know that we can have that right here? That's how the pioneers did it. Many things were pushing them to do what they were doing. Hard times in Europe, persecution in Europe, etc., etc. Pushing them to go on their own. Now here we have about 4 centuries of history in America. Of being inferior, begging a white man. And I know some of us don't like to admit it, but right now we are nothing but a race of beggars.
That's right.
Some of us have a lot, individually, but that's so temporarily. The circumstances of that are so shakeable until they can't even count on that being around here to take care of their children that are now coming up out of the crib. Right? We see the individual businessman among the African Americans come up and establish a big business. And it lasts for so many years, he goes, it's gone. How many African-American business people who established themselves have left that company around here in their name? How many companies can we find of the African-Americans that go back for generations? Serious man, I've had many youngsters to inherit that. Right? Oh, yeah. First man to start serious, he's probably dead. Most likely dead. I'm sure he's dead. But look as serious as I think. I think Roebuck's still gone. Both of them gone. But look how he's still holding. Look at the baby. He's still there. Because they established something not to give them fancy clothes and cat lights and the money to show off or pop on the weekend. They established that to establish their line. Their Allah line. Don't you want to establish your Allah line? Allah created you from an Allah. All right. Don't you want to establish your Allah line? Don't you want the life to stick, attach itself, and hold? That's why I got my family here. I told Shirley, I said, everybody got to come. But now that I said, look, all of us, Layla, her husband Dorian, the daughter and the grandson, son-in-law, their children, the babies, they got three babies. Twins, 5 years old, and another little fellow, the twins, a girl and a boy. Then they got a son, 4 years old. I said, all of them got to come. It's our family. I talked to him before we left. I said, well, how would you all like to start family concerns? My son-in-law, he got a job. He's a brilliant young fellow. He can make it. He doesn't have to come out here. I said, well, how would you like to do something together as a family? So what do you think of the idea of us buying us about 5 of those acres down there in Georgia? Saying we get together and see what we can do as a family to make those acres productive. Do within the concept that binds the whole farm together. I said, how about that? They thought a little while. Naturally, when you already established a little bit, you got to think. So I wasn't forcing them to give me no answer. They thought a little while. Then they don't say, Daddy, I think I like that.
Hello,
they said, Daddy, I think I like that. I said, well, that's what we're going to do. I said, we're going to plan to go down there on that farm and get us some acreage. And we're going to do something courageous. We're going to refuse the help of civilization. We're going to build us a crude house. We're going to save labor and save everything we can save. And we're going to build us a crude house and make it as fine and as pretty as we can. And when they come and volunteer, say, we volunteer to help you. I know electric work. And I say, no, please. We want to do it very crudely. If we can't string these wires ourselves, we're going to use wax candles and polar and something, man, until we can do it for ourselves. Let the professional man build his house. Let the professional man buy his acres and build his house. And after he build his house, show us what he can do for himself. Then maybe I'll look at him and say, okay, next one I build, I want you to help me with it. Now, that's me. You don't have to do that. If you want to say, look, I want you to help me with my wine, I want you to design it. If you want the professional people to help you put up a house, you do that. But I think I got the sense even to tap this ground and find out if it support my house. And I know it can. Little house for me and my children and grandchildren, my daughter and grandchildren. It don't take much to support that. I can build that up in that tree almost. Yeah, I can stack me some boards up, boards and jostles up in that tree. Build me a house straight up in that tree, man. You think like the corporate bosses have taught you to think. They teach you that you can't do nothing nowadays unless you come to the professionals.
Right.
And they're the professionals. And they done taught everybody else they hire and give a license to him and let him be called a thing. They done taught him how to think. We need to go back to thinking like the pioneers thought when they came to this part of the world. They didn't send for no professional people to come from Europe to help them out. They did things in a primitive way until they could do it better. They took logs and made log houses. They did it in a primitive way until they can do it, until they were able to do it better. And that's how come they established themselves. That's how they were able to establish themselves as a great people. Now, we know we can come down here and build something comparable to what they got in Atlanta. We have people can do that. I know we got people can do that. But it would be more courageous of us if our people that can do that will hold that back. Do that in Atlanta. Make your money in Atlanta. and join us and build something simple here. Let the whole world know that we ain't planning this just for showtime. This is for eternal time. Yes. And if they see you starting something out that way, they say, hey, those people ain't doing this just for show. They ain't trying to show off down there. They ain't doing something to last. Those people ain't dead. Those people gonna be there. Yeah, that's just sticking the tree and knock them down. Knock the tree down, cut the tree up, pull something. You ain't got no money to buy no timber. Take some tar and tar that stuff up so it won't rot. Pace it up and build something. You who want to do better, you stay in Atlanta. Stay in Chicago. Stay in New York. Stay in Newark. Stay over there where people are trying to compete with each other. See who can make the build the most fancy house. See who can put more money into it. Stay with those people who are trying to impress each other. We're going to try to impress ourselves. We're going to try to see what our own muscles and brain can produce. We're going to see what we can do with what we got. And if this all we got, let's work with it. Some of you are so weak, you don't know. You don't need no home. Ain't no lightning gonna hit you. Rain ain't gonna kill you. You can live right out here. Don't need no house. Man didn't have, wasn't born in no house. You think man was born in a house? Man was born out here in the neck of the land, man. And he took shelter on the tree, on the in a cave of a mountain, in a hole of a mountain. A dug a place in the hole in the ground. They put in something over the top of it and hid there until something blew over or something went over. Man know how to survive, but a nigga don't. We ain't no niggas, we're men. I know you don't like that. You lazy folks. I ain't talking about all of it. You know who I'm talking to. Are you looking at this as an opportunity to have something easy? Yeah, the lazy people, they're looking at this as an opportunity to have something easy. Come down here and lay up on somebody. Or hustle somebody. Run some game on somebody. We going back to Yaku's law. He didn't build any prison houses. We ain't gonna lock nobody up. Can't afford to feed you. Can't afford to keep you. It's exile or death. Exile if you don't conform. Death if you impose yourself. Woo! Yeah, that's what we should do. Right. I'm telling you what I will do right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what I will do right now. If we were today going to set the plan and establish it, we would establish it. And those who didn't want it, I say, you either conform or you get out of here. Go on back to your place. Don't even be seen on this land.
That's the way to do it.
And if you didn't accept that, I would say, let's make a nice hole for him right here. Make it shallow so he will fertilize that spot. We're going to feed our cabbages with that dead body. He gonna grow some nice crop for us. He's gonna scatter him all about so he fertilize our next crop. Oh, this man is dangerous. I'm the most law-abiding, I'm the safest man, I'm the best man for public safety that this country got. That's right.
Bring people out of the dependency on the other races. And you're going to have to call them to come into a community and do things for themselves. So they set up something to kill your spirit, to make you afraid to stand behind a leader and go off on your own, to do something to establish yourself. We ain't going together. We paid the price for this. This hour, right here. We don't have to go way over there to Guyana in the Caribbean. We don't have to go over there. What are they going over there for? They went over there to be executed. They went over there because they conspired to get rid of the troublemaker, to get rid of people who didn't conform. They couldn't be put on the welfare and be satisfied. They couldn't be hired as stew pigeons. They couldn't be overcome. They couldn't find no place for them. So they created a leader for them, called him Jones, Reverend Jones, and had him attack them into his thing. And then chose a spot, got a spot for them for their execution. And since it was religious, they made it look like Christ's sacrifice.
Right. Cool. Right.
They all volunteered suicide. That's the way it appears. But the rotten people in the establishment, you know, one of the city people was shot, killed. One of them were in communication with the representative from Jonestown. Rotten people in the establishment conspire to keep good people who are poor from coming up getting their share of what Allah intended for all people. Set it up. Set us up for failure so that the lesson will hit us and say, oh, we shouldn't try that. See, we failed. Then you're talking about coming down here. Look here, we'd have twice or maybe 10 times this crowd here. This ain't all the Muslims. We have many, many more people in this belong to American Muslim Mission. But they're afraid. They're afraid. Because the conspirators have set up models to disappoint them so that they won't have the faith to stand up and do that kind of thing. I know that trick. Allah has blessed me to see into that trick. Soon as we mentioned Atlanta, they brought that stuff back on TV, showing different communities of blacks that are trying to do something on their own and how they have abused their own kind. That's to make you fear. If you follow this man, Wadi Dean, he's going to lead you in the same situation that those people led into. And then they sent among us people who look like they're just those kind of people. Like they love to brutalize each other, or they're weak among themselves. They send them on around us, and you meet some of them at the gate when you're coming into the farm. They right out there to meet you before you get on the farm. And they looking like the kind that won't have a heart. If they got you out to yourself, they might kill you just for asking for justice.
That's right.
That's right. They do all that to discourage you.
That's right.
But don't be discouraged.
That's right.
Allah is on our side. We are going to win those people over to our side. We are going to surprise the conspirators. They're going to think they got an army of brutes down here to police us, and their brutes are going to be chained. Tail going to be cut. They're going to be human saying, Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alaykum, brother. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I know this is a long khutbah. Long khutbah.
Teach your people. Teach your people. We ain't got to go to work.
But this is a different season. In December, January, December, you can't talk long like this during the khutbah on Jummah. Because you're going to the Asr prayer time. But see how Allah makes it so convenient for us during the hot times? It's hot times, man. So Allah extend the hour of khutbah for us, the hour of Jummah for us. They don't have long hair. After time is still a long ways off. Keep on preaching that good life-giving message. Praise be to Allah. Yes. We know the sun goes, it seems it goes on a longer road down to the setting point in the summer. It stays a long time in that section of the ark that is allowed for the noontime prayer. Oh, yeah. You see, we make that band at the time of the noontime prayer, for the Friday prayer, right? And then we start preaching. Ordinarily, we would be making noon prayer. We ain't making noon prayer, we preaching on Jummah day. Allah made those allowances for us through His Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. And now that the hour has been extended, Asr is a long way down the ark. So they can't accuse me of violating the time. Let me teach you the clock, man. I ain't violating no time.
Oh, my God.
When things get hot, you need a longer juma. Cool off, you can cut down the time. Oh, yeah. And that's wisdom. Believe me, that's wisdom. Things get hot, you give up. No, things get hot, work harder. Work longer. To meet the challenge of the hotness. Challenge of the problem that make it hot. Fight. Fight with the tools that Allah has given you and you will be successful. Oh, yes. So dear beloved Muslim, the concept that we are bringing before you is the concept of a community life. Concept of community life that requires first that we respect the Lord that made everything possible for us, Allah. As it is said in the Quran, there are people who build a house, a masjid, to divide, to profit upon dividing people. Their purposes are worldly. They don't even stand in that house. Don't even stand in that masjid. Say, but that masjid, that house of worship, but that masjid that was built from its first day, from the first day it was built for that purpose. What purpose? Taqwa. The reverence of God. That house that was built from the very first day on the principle of reverence, respect, and fear of God. Says that's the house. Attend that house. Pray there. This is the Quran, isn't it? All right. Now, look, if Allah tells us to don't pray in a masjid that was structured or set up or established for worldly profit, for worldly gain. Now, if you accept the Quran and if you say you're really Muslim now, and if you accept the Quran, then you have to accept that anybody who calls you and say, come to Islam, come to Al-Islam, or come to Islam, Islam, common expression, and they say, what we want to do is build something for the black man. Say, what we want to do, we want to build an economic base for ourselves. We want to establish a political base for ourselves. We want to get ties with Africa. We want to bring up the black man all over the world. You can't accept it. Not if you're a Muslim. Because if he's going to build a masjid, a house of worship, it must be built for the purpose first. The first purpose is to worship God and live a life as Allah intends for his creature to live. Live a life in accord with Allah's word, in accord with his directions in the Quran. That's what he has to do if he's going to be true. Now, these people who call you today, they're not like Dawud Elijah Muhammad was. Dawud Elijah Muhammad was an innocent man when it comes to the conflict we have, or the contradictions we have in the concepts of God and the concepts of man in the world, etc. He was an innocent man when it comes to those conflicts that we have with that old teaching. These new people are not innocent. They're nothing but robbers. They're stick-up men who prey on the ignorant, prey on the poor. That's all they are. And they call you to come into something, say, look, Wallace disappointed us. What he's talking about is waste. What we need to do is get some money. What we need to do is build up industry, do this and do that. Where is the industry? Since I've been your leader, we have purchased with contributions that came to me. See, that my enemies won't tell you this, because this is a credit to my leadership. With money that came to me in my name, they donated it to Imam Wahidin Muhammad, our minister, as I was called, Supreme Minister Wahidin Muhammad, well, I was Dean Muhammad back then. They donated it to me. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. With that money, I bought a whole block in Chicago. I say I bought it because I was the man who initiated it. Actually, we bought it. A whole block. On that block, we got the Ephraim Baha Center. On that block was the Mary Chevrolet Garage. It's been knocked down. The land been leveled off. We got a whole block there to build a structure that will be Islamic from the base all the way up. We won't have to be in a church that's laid out plan-wise as a cross. We looked at the floor plan. The floor plan is a cross. They build a Greek Orthodox church, and the base of it, the full floor plan, is a cross. Now, you think a Muslim will feel comfortable in that place, knowing that he's congregating upon a cross? No, we are Christians. That's against our spirit, against our religion, and against our spirit. And in addition, the place was built for good times for the rich, and it was the rich Greeks who bought it. The structure is not built for us. It doesn't accommodate our needs in a reasonable way or in a sensible way. All our money go up into the dome trying to heat it. The air conditioner makes a big problem. Thousands of dollars of expenses every 3 months. Thousands of dollars of expenses just to maintain or just to stay in that place. Real Muslims don't build edifices like that. Waste their money up in the sky. That's not Islamic. Prophet Muhammad didn't do that. You want to know what Prophet Muhammad did? What you're doing right now. Prophet Muhammad's followers gathered on the ground, just like you're doing now. They prayed on the earth, just like we're doing now. And most of them didn't have no prayer rug. They didn't have no towel. They put their head on this. Right there. They put their head on that, and they prayed like that. Most of the followers of Prophet Muhammad didn't have a horse to ride to the meeting. They walked to the meeting. They didn't have a donkey, an animal, a pack animal to ride to the meeting. They walked to those meetings. Very few had a horse, a donkey, a camel, or something like that. Very few. I come to the meeting in a little car to demonstrate to you the importance of us coming down and living on the level of our means and not trying to show off. So they don't want like me. They don't like me to come up here and drive my little car. They told me to leave it there this morning. They leave it at the hotel. Said, we don't want to see you drive. Say, how come? I didn't tell them that. I'm saying in my own mind. Say, how come? How come you don't want to see me drive? You ain't no older than I am. In fact, you no younger than I am. In fact, you're my age, a little older than I am. So how come you don't want to see me drive? Am I too old to drive? What is it? What is it? What is it Islamically that makes it I shouldn't drive? You're too important to drive. Am I too important to drive? What was Prophet Muhammad doing with a camel? Woo! He came into Medina with his car. He brought his car to Medina. His camel. He didn't have no chauffeur. He didn't bring his chauffeur to Medina. He brought his own camel. He came with his own riding piece. And I got my own riding piece because I follow Muhammad, the greatest man. That's right. And I don't care how uncomfortable it makes you people who feel shame or guilty because you're riding a big buggy. Ride your big buggy. I ain't bothering you. Just ride your big buggy. I'm the leader. I have to demonstrate what is best for the majority of the people. One of the big cars paid $100 to get here. I paid $22 and something. You with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is the way we're going to change this situation. Look here, if I were you all, and I were